Real quick, we have to take a break to acknowledge the sponsor of today's episode, which is Secret Nature. Secret Nature's ultra premium CBD gummies are crafted with real botanicals, nothing extra, and designed to fit right into your day with clean, purposeful functionality. So for me personally, I like to take one of their snoozer gummies in the evening to unwind and ensure that I get a good night's sleep. After a long day, especially when my brain is just still running a mile a minute and I can't seem to settle down, I'll take one to help me slow down, unplug, and actually get a good night's sleep. I personally don't drink alcohol because I just don't like the way it makes me feel the next day, but these gummies feel very clean, intentional, and it never leaves me groggy the next morning, just feeling balanced and rested. Secret Nature's gummies are organic and farm grown. They're never lab made. They're ultra premium CBD gummies made with real botanicals and nothing extra. You've got two purpose built options. There's Bliss for clear focus and productive flow if you want to take one during the day, and then you get Snoozers to help you relax and rest at the end of the day. Each gummy has consistent, measured CBD, so there's never any guessing, just clean, reliable functionality that fits naturally into your schedule. Get 30% off your first order at secretnature.com with the code MAMA. That's M-A-M-A. And just a heads up, their Black Friday sale is coming up, and they are going to be offering 25% off on orders of $75 or more, 35% off on orders of $125 or more, and then 40% off on orders of $150 or more between November 26th and the 30th. So don't forget to use my code MAMA when you check out. That's M-A-M-A at secretnature.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. You chose to hit play on this podcast today. Smart choice. Make another smart choice with AutoQuote Explorer to compare rates from multiple car insurance companies all at once. Try it at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance and Affiliates. Not available in all states and situations. Prices may vary on how you buy.
This episode is brought to you by LinkedIn. Psst, healthcare pros, words out, and it's too good to keep quiet. Look, LinkedIn is revolutionizing job hunting, making it possible to search by specialty, shift preference, and salary. Endless scrolling is out. Whether it's a mental health therapist or dental hygienist, finding the perfect role is faster and easier than ever. Head to linkedin.com/healthcare and start your search today.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I was looking for fun ways to tell you that Mint's offer of unlimited premium wireless for $15 a month is back. So I thought it would be fun if we made $15 bills, but it turns out that's very illegal. So there goes my big idea for the commercial. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Welcome back to Mama Mystery. I am your host, Kelly.
And I am your co-host, dun dun dun, Austin.
And Austin is eating, so super sorry if you hear his food.
If you hear my jowls.
Yeah, chomping away over there.
Let's do this, Kelly. You got me a good story today?
Yes. Okay, so first of all, we're back, and I'm super excited. It's been a minute.
Bump, ba-da-lump, 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 back in black.
So anyway, I was almost like, gosh, how do I even do this? How do I set up GarageBand? How do I do all the things? I like kind of had to refresh myself a little bit because it has been a whole minute.
Mm-hmm.
And we're coming back with a Mama Minute episode too. I'm really excited to start diving into those more. So if you are an avid Mama Mystery listener, you know that we have sometimes in the past done Mama Minutes. And we're going to get into doing those more and kind of sprinkle them in between some true crime episodes. They will have a different cover art so that way you can distinguish what's what. But if you're not into that, because Mama Minutes are just going to be conversational stuff between Austin and I, talking about life stuff, funny stories, whatever, but it's not going to be related to true crime at all. So if you're not into that, skip those. But if you want to get to know us on a little bit of a deeper level, then, you know, give us a listen.
And we put the disclaimer on each episode. So that way the people who aren't like humongous fans of us don't get on there and go, I really wish they would only stick to true crime. Just don't listen to those ones.
Yeah, you can skip. Mm-hmm. Super easy, super simple. It's actually faster to skip than it is to let me know you don't like it. So.
Aim into that.
Anyway, okay, so we're going to go ahead and dive on in.
This is the case of...
Do you know?
I have no clue.
Of course not. You guys, I actually have like 10 episodes written and ready to record because I am really coming back.
And With a vengeance.
I was really nervous for a minute there. I didn't know if we were going to come back because I just wasn't feeling it after Ellie was born. And then, I don't know, something revamped inside me. And I was like, yeah, we're going to keep going.
Amen to that.
We got to. So anyway, all right, today we're talking about the story of Madeline Soto. And of all the episodes that I've written so far, this one is definitely the most disturbing. And I say that to offer a trigger warning because there is talk of child sexual abuse material and it's just awful.
It's going to be a rough one.
Yeah. So you might want to finish eating before I get too deep into this. Okay.
Fair enough.
All right. On Monday, February 26th, 13-year-old Madeline Soto from Kissimmee, Florida, disappeared just one day after celebrating her 13th birthday with her family. Around 4:30 p.m. on that Monday, her mom, Jennifer Soto, went to pick her up from Hunters Creek Middle School, but Madeline was not there. Initially, her mom assumed that maybe Madeline had gone for a walk or decided to visit her grandmother's office, which was nearby, and so she drove around the area searching for her daughter but could not find her anywhere. Concerned, Jennifer returned to the school only to find that it had already closed. So she reached out to some of Madeline's friends, but none of them had seen or heard from her either. So in a final attempt to locate her, she emailed one of Madeline's teachers. But this only heightened her fears because the teacher responded saying that Madeline never made it to school that day. She had been marked absent all day. It was at this point that her mom realized something was seriously wrong and called 911.
That would be, I got the goosebumps right now, because that would be the most terrifying feeling right there.
It absolutely would. And I think it's interesting that she didn't know her daughter was absent all day, and maybe they do things differently down in Kissimmee or in Florida or wherever. But when our kids are absent, I get a phone call saying they're absent. It's like one of the first things in the morning. And I think maybe that's a protocol for this type of situation. So like, hey, just so you know, like your kid's not here. So I'm surprised they didn't do that.
Mm-hmm.
So Madeline was officially reported missing around 8 o'clock that Monday. She was last seen wearing a green jacket, black shorts, and white Crocs. The Department of Law Enforcement issued a missing child alert for Madeline Soto, and the Orange County Sheriff's Office shared her missing persons poster. The last person to see Madeline was her mom's boyfriend, Stephen Stearns. He dropped her off at school around 8:30 a.m. that Monday morning, which led everyone to ask, what happened after that? How did she not make it to school if she had been dropped off? According to Madeline's mom, that Monday started off as usual. Her boyfriend had driven Madeline to school and dropped her off near a church located across the street from the school. This church, Peace United Methodist, was a common drop-off point because apparently she was a little embarrassed of the car that they drove. I mean, I think it was kind of this preteen, like, oh, don't drop me off, it's embarrassing. Mm-hmm. But they said it had to do with the car. I don't know. But it doesn't really matter. She was dropped off at the church. This was a common drop-off point. And from there, she was expected to walk the short distance to school. However, surveillance footage revealed a troubling detail, which was after being dropped off, Madeline hung around the church parking lot for a few minutes before walking toward the school, but she never made it. So that was around 9 a.m., and no one knows what happened on her walk. Strangely, Madeline left her phone at home that day, which her mom said was not unusual for her because Madeline was often forgetful and had ADHD. So they tried tracing her school laptop to see if it would ping a location, but the laptop had been turned off as well. Madeline's mom, desperate for any lead, decided to search her daughter's phone. Even though Madeline had always been open with her, telling her about crushes and friends, her mom just needed to be sure. So she hoped that there might be a text message or a clue indicating where Madeline had gone or who she'd been communicating with last. Though Madeline's mom trusted her daughter, she was worried. Maybe Madeline had met someone online and hadn't shared every detail. After all, online games and apps can often be dangerous with predators lurking, waiting for any opportunity. Madeline's mom, desperate for answers, searched her phone thoroughly. She checked both the regular text messages and the deleted ones, hoping for a clue, but there was nothing. There was nothing, no indication that Madeline had planned to run away or meet someone. And this raised the uncomfortable question, which was, had Madeline ever threatened to run away before? Her mom was firm in her response. Never. Madeline had never mentioned anything like this. And she wasn't the type of girl to suddenly run away without a word. And as previously mentioned, Madeline had been seen on surveillance footage in the church parking lot. So although her mom hadn't personally seen the video, her sister, so Madeline's aunt, said that she had. The aunt had been at the church searching for Madeline when law enforcement approached her, letting her know that they had seen the camera footage. The more time passed, the more worried Madeline's mom became. If she had been seen at the church, then how did she not make it across the street to her school? Could she have been abducted while trying to cross the street? Madeline's aunts also spoke to the media, echoing the belief that Madeline wouldn't have just disappeared on her own. She was not the kind of child to just leave without a trace. So immediately after Madeline was reported missing on Monday night, law enforcement began searching for her. By Tuesday morning, the Orange County Sheriff's Office had launched a massive search operation with more than 50 members of the Orange County Sheriff's Office response team combing the area, along with canine units using a piece of Madeline's clothing to try and track her scent. By Wednesday, 2 days after Madeline went missing, a press conference was held to update the public and raise awareness about her disappearance. Authorities wanted to get the word out to as many people as possible, hoping that someone might have seen or heard something. Time was ticking, and this 13-year-old girl was still missing. Her safety is now a serious concern. During the press conference, it was revealed that the search had grown to include over 100 people, involving deputies, detectives, intelligence analysts, and other specialized personnel. Detectives had already begun conducting interviews with Madeline's mom, her mom's boyfriend, and her friends from school. They had also accessed her phone, and what they found was unexpected. Apparently, in her phone messages, Madeline had told some people that once she turned 13, just a few days earlier, on February 22nd, she wanted to go live in the woods. Now, as soon as I heard this, I'll be honest, it made me question some things. Like, something is just off. The timing of this is strange. She had just turned 13. Now she's missing. But like, why would a 13-year-old say she wanted to go live in the woods?
Right.
And I know that there is some sort of like, I don't know, not glamour, but like attraction for people that want to just go off the grid, live in the woods. Like I see that. I've watched Naked and Afraid and like the Alaskan bush people. Like, I know people want to do that.
I see the wanting to live off the grid and live off the land. Mm-hmm. I don't necessarily see it as like TV show style. Let's go live in the woods,
right.
You know,
and
Survivor
13,
series. Yeah. That's weird.
Yeah. There's a disconnect here. I don't know. That just seemed really odd. And also, you're in Florida. Florida is infested with swamps and alligators. Like, this is not an ideal place for a 13-year-old to go living off the grid or even try it.
I don't know where anywhere would be an ideal place for a 13-year-old to go live off the grid.
Well, that's a good point. So anyway, the idea of Madeline wanting to live in the woods was obviously concerning, but the timing of all of this was raising even more red flags. The whole situation was just too convenient, too perfectly timed. She left her phone and laptop behind, almost as if she knew she wouldn't need them. That way...
I'm making a bold prediction right now.
Okay.
And it's a ridiculous prediction. I hope I don't feel like an a-hole.
Okay, let's hear it.
Something to do with the stepdad?
Okay.
The mom's boyfriend that lives in the house?
Okay.
Is it a marriage or what?
I don't think they're married. I think they're just boyfriend and girlfriend.
I don't know. I don't know why I'm pointing at that guy. If it's not him, I'm sorry.
Okay. So that's where you're...
That's where my head's going right now. You got to look in the house, right?
Yeah, yeah. It's usually somebody really close to you.
Okay.
Yeah. So as the old saying goes, where there's smoke, there's fire. And something about this situation was just not adding up. And sure enough, Madeline's disappearance was about to take a very dark and twisted turn. A breaking development was coming that would shake everything up. It was now 2 days after Madeline disappeared, and on Wednesday, February 28th, her mom's boyfriend, Stephen Stearns, was arrested.
No way!
Yes.
Man, I was about to hold off on my prediction, and I'm glad I did it at the time I did it. Now, this doesn't mean anything.
Well,
but
here's the thing. His arrest had nothing to do with Madeline's disappearance.
Okay.
He was actually arrested for sexual battery and possession of explicit child sexual abuse material. Oh. And the details of what was found on his phone were absolutely horrific. so cruel and disgusting and graphic, it's honestly hard to even put into words. At the time of his arrest, although he wasn't officially charged with anything related to Madeline's disappearance, he was immediately named the primary suspect. But was this because of the content found on his phone or because he was the last person to see Madeline? The investigation was intensifying. Authorities revealed that upon examining Stefan's phone, they found unsettling images, along with evidence that he had tried to wipe his phone completely, like do a master reset. Mm-hmm. According to Stefan, he accidentally performed a factory reset on his phone. But this conveniently happened on the same day Madeline disappeared.
I just hate when you do the accidental factory reset. It happens all the time.
It happens all the time.
I factory reset my phone.
You only have to go
phone.
Through like 7 steps to actually do it.
And then type it in your sure password seven and times. Confirm it and 6-factor authentication.
Whoopsie daisy.
Yeah.
Shoot, my
Dang
whole
it.
Phone.
I just factory reset my whole phone again.
Gosh darn it. I hate it when that happens.
Dirt bag.
Yeah. And if that wasn't enough of a red flag, this is where things get even darker. The sheriff's office reported that the crimes depicted in the images and videos found on Stefan's phone were committed inside their home. Let that sink in. The crimes weren't just horrific, but they had taken place within the very house that Madeline and her family lived.
And now you can't blame Madeline for wanting to run away at 13.
And now it makes sense. Now, I'm going to read an excerpt from the affidavit, the arrest affidavit, that sheds some light on the severity of the situation. But I want to warn you, this is very explicit in nature. And so I know there's some people that have kids that listen to this. This is the time to turn it off or fast forward. Okay. So it says, quote, an interview was conducted with the victim's stepfather, Stefan Stearns, who advised he picked up the victim and dropped her off in front of Peace United Methodist Preschool, and then it gives the address, which was down the street from the school, at 8:40 a.m. Hunters Creek Middle School begins class at 9:30. A license plate reader captured Stefan's vehicle with Florida tags. I guess I don't really need to read the tags, but it was driving away from the school at 8:10. During the interview with Stefan, he provided consent to search his phone. However, he stated he accidentally performed a factory reset on his phone on February 26th, the same day the victim went missing. So here's that trigger warning. Upon reviewing the contents of Stefan's phone, several images...
So they were still able to do it even though the reset happened?
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Upon reviewing the contents of Stefan's phone, several images and videos were located, which depicted the missing juvenile with her breasts, vagina, and anal opening as the focal point of the pictures and videos. There were also pictures and videos depicting the missing juveniles. I don't know if I can say it. It depicted her mouth and her privates being penetrated by a penis. As such, the files depicted the sexual performance of a child. Your affiant has probable cause to believe Stefan was in possession of material depicting the sexual performance of a child. It should be noted that the penis observed penetrating the victim had distinct marking on it, which consisted of bright pinkish-colored skin below the head of the penis, approximately a quarter of the length down the shaft of the penis. Several other pictures captured this distinct pattern on his phone, and further, as the affiant was reviewing the pictures and videos, they were observing several different pieces of clothing to include patterned underwear, shirts, blankets, and sheets. And simultaneously, detectives of the Orange County Sheriff's Office were executing a search warrant at Stefan's home address. And this address is also where, obviously, the victim and her mother live. The detectives searched the residence and were contacted and confirmed they found the same distinctive clothing both in Stefan's room and the victim's room. Based on the totality of the circumstances, your affiant has probable cause to believe Stefan committed a sexual battery on the victim. God, that sucked.
Mm-hmm.
I did not like that at all. Okay, so by Thursday and Friday, law enforcement continued to update the public on the investigation, but with the news of Stefan's arrest and Madeline still missing, things are now looking pretty bleak. The hope for Madeline's safe return is now fading, and the investigation was heading down a very, very dark path.
The Disney Plus Hulu Max bundle. It's the ultimate bundle for an unbelievable price. Plans starting at $16.99 a month. Get it and watch Marvel Television's Ironheart on Disney Plus.
I want to build something iconic.
A new season of The Bear on Hulu.
We can make people happy.
And The Epic, a Minecraft movie on Max.
Anything you can imagine is possible.
The Disney Plus Hulu Max bundle. Plans starting at $16.99 a month. All these and more now streaming. Terms apply. Visit DisneyPlusHuluMaxBundle.com for details.
Ah, smart water. Pure, crisp taste.
That's really good water.
It's the kind of water that says, I have my life together.
I do feel more sophisticated.
Smart water. For those with a taste for taste. Grab yours today.
Did you know that parents rank financial literacy as the number one most difficult life skill to teach? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app for families. With Greenlight, you can send money to kids quickly, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on your kids' spending with real-time notifications. Kids learn to earn, save, and spend wisely, and parents can rest easy knowing their kids are learning about money with guardrails in place. Try Greenlight risk-free today at greenlight.com/Spotify.
So just to recap where we are, police had just made a public announcement saying they no longer believed Madeline was alive. They now thought she was dead, and the investigation shifted to a recovery operation. Madeline's parents had been notified, and the horrific material on her mom's boyfriend's phone led to his arrest. However, at this point, his charges weren't directly related to Madeline's disappearance yet, until a huge break came in the case. Investigators discovered video footage showing Stefan throwing items into a dumpster behind their apartment complex around 7:30 a.m. the day Madeline went missing. Not long after discovering this footage, investigators found Madeline's backpack and her school-issued laptop in the trash. Oh, man. Another surveillance video showed Stefan returning to the complex at 8:19, and in this footage, Madeline was visible in the car. But sadly, investigators believed that at that time, she was already dead in his car. Now let's break down what's going on with Stefan. The morning Madeline disappeared, he claimed he had dropped her off near the school, but evidence painted a different picture. Between 1 and 2:30 that Monday, Stefan was spotted driving near State Road 192 and Old Hickory Tree Road, which is an area that is far from the school. Witnesses also spotted him with a flat tire near Old Hickory Tree Road. And when I first heard about this flat tire, I kind of started piecing together the timeline and wondered just how calculated Stefan might have been. Like, did he actually plan this entire thing? The message that was sent from Madeline to her friends about wanting to live in the woods, like, could he have sent that text to kind of create a ruse or red herring? But at this point, Madeline's body had still not been found, and that left a lot of unanswered questions. However, just hours after the press conference, the search for Madeline came to a tragic end when her body was found around 4:30 p.m. by search teams in a wooded area off Old Hickory Tree Road, the same area where Stefan had been spotted with a flat tire on the day of her disappearance. And I just can't help but wonder if Madeline from the other side had something to do with him getting that flat tire, causing him to basically be stranded there while he worked on this flat tire, giving more time for people to see him there, spot him there, and be like, hey, actually, I saw this guy that day, and right. This is where he was. And it happened to lead right to where she was left.
Right.
This news broke the hearts of everyone following this story, especially the community who had been holding out hope for her safe return. And the investigation, which had started as a missing persons case, was now officially a homicide investigation. So the Kissimmee Police Department took the lead, and the community was left to just mourn the loss of Madeline. As more details unfolded, attention shifted to Stefan Stearns, who was now the primary suspect in what had become now a murder case. He was already in custody on unrelated charges of sexual battery and possession of child material. But this new revelation was pushing the investigation towards a much darker conclusion. And there was more to unravel about Stefan's behavior in the lead up to his arrest. During one of the interviews with Madeline's mom, something struck a lot of people as very odd. In the interview, her mom continuously switched between he and we when talking about taking Madeline to school.
What?
There were times when she would say, we took her to school, and then other times that she would say, he saw her that morning, he dropped her off.
It's so interesting through all these cases over the years of doing this the little things people pick up on, mm-hmm. or that when they know what they're looking for, like the inconsistency of he or we, or when people are talking about somebody in past tense when yes. they're not officially deemed or found dead yet.
Yeah.
I think that's interesting.
Yeah. It's just a little thing that
like a slip up.
Means a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. But what was even more chilling was watching Stefan in the background of these interviews, because in the background, you can see him just pacing back and forth right behind Madeline's mom as she was speaking to the media. And his pacing, just his presence, knowing what we know now, is so unsettling to watch. And at one point, he sat down but stayed just in the camera's view, partially visible, as if he couldn't decide whether he wanted to be in the frame or not. So at this point, things are starting to look more suspicious, especially regarding the role of Madeline's mother in this whole situation. Mm-hmm. It seemed like maybe she had been fed a story by Stefan and then pressured to endorse it, basically making him look innocent, while Stefan hovered behind her during these interviews, pacing in what looked to be kind of an intimidating manner. But it felt like he was making sure she said what she was supposed to say.
But let's be honest. When you found all those photos on his phone and you know about all that, how could you ever go along with any story? How could you ever be?
Well, the interviews took place before he was arrested. So it was probably before she even knew about it. But still, there are details, though, that will still make you question that. Mm-hmm. So just keep listening. There's been speculation from people following the case that Madeline's mom may have been involved in a cover-up, because some even suggest she knew more about what was going on regarding the alleged assault on Madeline. So aside from the mother's interviews, one of the most disturbing things to emerge was this on-camera interview with Stefan himself. Given what we know now, watching this interview is like, it's just so creepy. I'm just going to play it.
I dropped her off. Everything looked fine when I drove away. It's the last time we saw her.
What were the conversations that y'all had in the car when you dropped her off?
Not much. She was asleep for most of the way. Told her have a good day at school when she got out. I love her. She said, thanks, love you too. That was it.
And so where do you think she could possibly be? I mean, this isn't, as I was told, this isn't normal behavior.
It is not normal behavior. She's not the type that would just run off. We don't know where she could be. We're scared. We just want her home.
Are you, in a sense, blaming yourself?
It's hard not to. It just keeps coming in waves. Just the reality keeps hitting. We don't know where she is. We don't know if she's safe. We're just scared. We just want her home. Conflicting reports here and there. People say they see this or that. None of it's conclusive and none of it's helpful. We just want a baby girl back.
Asleep on the way to school. That's strange.
That is definitely strange.
And then the BS of, we just want our baby girl back. And like,
yeah. And in the interview, if you see it in person, I'll put it on our Instagram so you can watch it. But he's not actually crying. He's not shedding actual tears. He's just making all the sounds to sound sad. Mm-hmm. But yeah, when he's like, do you blame yourself? And he's like, well, it's hard not to.
Mm-hmm.
And he knows.
And it's not helpful with other people saying stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the trial, originally set for earlier this year, has been delayed, and a status hearing is scheduled for October 14th of 2024, where attorneys will propose a trial schedule for the judge to consider. The prosecution intends to seek the death penalty, and now he's facing multiple charges, including first-degree murder in connection with Madeline's death. This is beyond sickening. This case is a haunting reminder that you can never be too careful about who you allow around your children. And the detail that I wanted to share about the mom's involvement is that it wasn't uncommon for Madeline to sleep in bed with Stefan, or for Stefan to sleep in bed with Madeline, even when Jen was there, the mom. So just so I can reiterate this and let it sink in, Jen is sleeping in a bed by herself while her boyfriend is sleeping in a bed with her 13-year-old daughter. And you're just fine with that? That's like a normal occurrence? We're just doing that? I mean, that's weird to me.
Yeah, it's definitely weird. I mean, like, I'm not a freaking weirdo. So I'm sitting here thinking of like the kids, if I fell asleep in one of the kids' beds randomly or something, but I don't think that's what this is.
No, this was like, no, this isn't like you fell asleep while you were reading to Kennedy or singing her a song.
Yeah.
Like, 'cause we have a bedtime routine where we all are kind of
have a role.
Yes. This is okay. I'm going to go to bed. See you later, honey.
And go then sleep with the daughter
with your 13 year old.
That's freaking weird.
It's weird.
Yeah.
The fact that I can't, like, you're just turning a blind eye. I don't know. I don't like to shame parents when they're in one of the most horrific situations of their life. Right. This is obviously very sad, but I just can't wrap my head around letting someone sleep in bed with their 13-year-old daughter. And like, this is not her biological dad. I don't know. The whole thing is just very, very strange. So naturally, the mom has gotten a lot of heat on social media because of all of this. I can't decide if I feel like it's warranted or not, to be honest, because the vast majority of me is like, yeah, of course it's warranted. Like,
you kind of
turned a blind eye. Were you that desperate for a relationship that you would allow this guy to sleep in bed with your 13-year-old daughter because you just didn't want to lose him? Like, that's where the cynical part of me goes and like the mother of two daughters goes. But then the other side of me is like, you never know what's going on behind closed doors if he was violent towards her. Like, there's a lot of things you can't possibly understand about the dynamics of a relationship that you're not in.
What does she say about it after the fact? Like, has she done interviews?
I have not seen any reactions after all of this came out. Like, I haven't seen any interviews from her. I don't know what the reaction is. I'm sure she's...
And she's free. She's walking free.
Right. She has not faced any charges.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Oh, and then another weird thing that happened... This case just keeps getting worse and worse. I forgot to mention this. So one of the sheriffs of the police or the sheriff's office who was on the scene when Madeline's body was found snapped a picture of it on his phone, picture of her body in the grass. Then later that day when uploaded a reel of photos to Instagram about something else and accidentally included the image of Madeline's body laying in the grass. And then like... quickly tried to delete it but by then multiple people had already seen it and screenshot it and shared it and whatever. But there was a lot of questions like, why did you even have that on your phone in the first place? And it was kind of reminiscent of the Kobe Bryant thing when some of the police that were on the scene were taking pictures of like body parts
that were found
on the hill, and some of them included Kobe Bryant's remains.
I didn't know that.
And some of these cops were like sharing the photos or showing their friends at the bar, like, yeah, look at this. It's on my phone. You want to see? And sharing it. Well, his wife, Vanessa, won a lawsuit against the police department or the sheriff's department, whoever was the employer of the cops that took those photos and were sharing them. So
unreal.
You cannot find them, as far as I know. You cannot find them anywhere on the internet, but it was made aware that the pictures were taken and they were being shared among friends.
That's crazy. That's like just disgusting.
Yeah. It's really disgusting when you're taking it for that. You're taking these pictures for your own interest. You know, it's not like you're taking them as part of your investigation. You're taking them to show other people. And that's where it gets gross.
Yeah.
And super disrespectful. So it's just, I feel so sad for this girl, 13 years old.
And her was life getting sexually sucked. Abused. And yes. Then ends up getting killed.
Yeah. And then in death, she's even mortified, you know, like embarrassed or, I don't know, just the fact that that picture was taken and then shared. It was like, did anyone give a shit about this girl? Anybody? Did anyone care? Did she ever know in her short life what it was like to be cared about? Mm-hmm. That's what I'd like to know. But anyway, that is all I have. For today. I guess whenever he does go to trial, I assume if he is pleading not guilty, there will probably be extensive coverage on Court TV. So I will probably follow that trial if it does end up going to trial. The only reason it wouldn't is if he pleads guilty, but I don't think he's going to.
Too much against him, right?
I mean, there is a lot against him, but
I guess Casey Anthony tried to plead not guilty. And
yeah.
So it's like...
Casey Anthony has a new boyfriend, by the way. And it apparently is a man who was married for like 20 something years, had multiple kids with his wife, dumped his wife for Casey Anthony. Like, what?
I don't get that.
What?
At all.
You have children. And so I was talking to my brother about Dancing with the Stars because apparently this new season's about to start, and Anna Delvey is one of the contestants. Anna Delvey is a criminal. She's literally going to be dancing on stage with a monitor on her ankle because she's like currently on house arrest.
Like a violent criminal?
No, she was just a fraud. She stole money from a bunch of people. I don't know if there's really enough to do a whole story on it, but she's just this very arrogant, bizarrely confident woman. I mean, she's young. She's very young. She's younger than me, but she kind of frauded a bunch of people and took their money and just doesn't care. She has like a super flippant attitude about the whole thing. And she's like, well, do I look rich? Because if I look rich, then nothing else matters. Like, I don't know. She's just weird.
Strange.
But I was thinking, like, why are we... If I was one of the people that she stole from, I would be pissed that she's being...
Hey, that's the person. Look on TV. That's the person that scammed me out of $100,000.
Yeah, exactly. But, I mean, I guess they also put Carol Baskin on Dancing with the Stars, and she was... rumored to have killed her husband, but never actually convicted. Anna Delvey, though, was convicted. Like, she served time. So anyway, when I was talking to my brother about this, I was like, why are we, like, memorializing, or I'm trying to think of the word,
endorsing.
But I can't. Yeah, like, this person, like, who's next? Who's going to be on next season? Casey Anthony? Anyway, that was my thought. And I just can't stand her. You guys, I just hate her. I just hate her. Anyway.
Well written. Good bounce back episode.
Thank you.
I'm excited to keep writing. Keep recording. I'm not writing. You're writing.
Yeah. You're not doing anything. You're just sitting there looking cute and giving your opinion, which I love.
I was correct on my guess.
You were correct. Yes.
I just felt like 13 years old. Friends don't know anything. That dude dropped her off at school. And then she wants to run away. Mm-hmm. I was just like, long shot.
Yeah. There were also other details about him saying he went to McDonald's, but then they caught him going in the opposite direction of McDonald's. So he was like, oh, yeah, I was heading home to get the clicker for my garage door because I forgot it. Like, just none of it was making sense. So I think the police were onto him pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I'm glad she was found. I hate it for her. Super sad.
Mama, mystery, out.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. You chose to hit play on this podcast today. Smart choice. Make another smart choice with AutoQuote Explorer to compare rates from multiple car insurance companies all at once. Try it at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance and Affiliates. Not available in all states and situations. Prices may vary on how you buy.